in the name of Jesus. And I assure you, you have no cause for alarm, no cause to be worried, because that which concerns you, my God, the Almighty God, will bring them all to perfection. And you will give him praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. This morning, I will be ministering on the topic, Highway to Increase. Highway to Increase. Hallelujah. And the text that I'm picking my ministration this morning from is Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, one of my favorite scriptures. It's a scripture, a verse of the scripture that every one of us should know, actually. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. God speaking there, you know, said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein," according to all that is written in it. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I am reading from the New King James Version. And I'll pick the reading one more time. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is God speaking to Joshua and admonishing him on the way of success. And I believe God is still, saying the same thing to you and I. The scriptures are still alive today, and they are written for our own admonitions. I can tell you, confidently that God means success for you. He wants you to prosper. God wants you to prosper, and God will always be glorified with your prosperity. It's very, very important that you understand that. That there is no one person who is poor, who is failing, who is not seeing success, that is there because that is God's will for him. That is God's desire for him. No. There's no one person whose failing or lack of success brings glory to God. God does not take glory, for failure. God wants us to be succeeding. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to keep moving forward, keep achieving new heights every day. That is the counsel of God for us. It is not God that is behind anyone's failure or anyone's lack, because we all know that God is not an agent of failure. God is not behind anyone's failure. God does not stand on the way of anyone's success. God does not withhold success from anybody and does not do anything whatsoever to hinder anyone from succeeding. God will only show you the way of success. And when you apply what God is saying to do for success to happen, He makes increase, He makes success come to you, because He is the God of increase. God is the God of increase. Hallelujah. Whenever we do what God is saying to do, He commands increase to come. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6 and 7, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Whenever someone does his own portion, what he's required to do, God will always make increase come. He says, so then, neither is he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God gives increase. He will not hold back increase from anyone. He will not do anything to stand on the way of anyone's success or increase. And that is important that you understand that, you know, and let that settle in your spirit. It does not even matter whether the person is born again or not, whether the person has come to know Jesus or not. If the person understands the principles of increase, the principles of prosperity, God will command his increase in the person's portion. God does not make increase happen only to believers. No, absolutely, God makes increase come to anyone who knows the increase, the principle behind increase, and he does it. And it's important for you to know that he is the God of progression. He is the God of increase. He is the God of success. He will not withhold success from anyone, whether the person is saved or is not born again. He will make the sun to shine and the rain to fall down on the portion of everyone. That is what God does. Jesus showed us that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, this is what Jesus himself said, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The moment someone plants, whether the person, whoever that person is, the moment he tills the ground, no matter who that person is, the moment he opens the portion of famine, God will make the sun to shine there. God will pour the rain there because he's a good God. He's a God of all the families of the earth. He does not stand on the way of anyone's progression. God is not an agent of failure, an agent of poverty. So if you read through the scriptures, you will discover that when it comes to God's own portion, it is always settled. He's constant. He's not the God that wavers. He's all good and perfect. Gifts that come from God, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. God is constant. Hallelujah. So a lot of times, what we are, you know, I mean, let me just put it this way. What we are is largely dependent on us. Where we are today is dependent on we brought ourselves to where we are. The decisions that we make, the choices that we make, they create our pathways. And the path that we take will always lead us somewhere. So this is why God, to help Joshua succeed in his own assignment, he admonished him on what to do. He said, look, Joshua, you will make your way prosperous. And you will make your way to good success. He said to Joshua, God said to Joshua, it's all up to you. I'm just going to show you what you should do. And if you can just listen to what I say and do what I admonish you to do, Joshua, I will empower you to do all of that. But as you yield yourself to obey me, he said, if you observe to do according to all that is written in the scriptures, then you, Joshua, will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. It's all down to you, Joshua. Hallelujah. So I wanted to take responsibility for your success, for your increase, for your tomorrow. I wanted to see that it's to a large extent dependent on you, how you will eventually exit this world, at what level of breakthrough, at what level of accomplishment, you know, you exit this world. It's largely dependent on you. The outcome of your life is largely dependent on what you will do today. Hallelujah. You know, as I was preparing, you know, to speak on increase this morning, on the pathway to increase this morning, I was asking the Holy Spirit to show me something simple that I can give to you, you know, that can bless you. And the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit, you know, some things that I want to pass on to you this morning that can move you to the place of success. And number one thing the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit is that you have to have the right mindset about increase. Have the right mindset about increase. And the number one thing here under this is to first believe that God has pleasure in your increase. Having the right mindset about increase is first believing that God has pleasure in your increase. God wants you to increase. God's mind concerning you is that you increase. Is that you don't retrogress. Is that you don't stay on the same level. Is that you keep increasing. You know, in Psalm 35, verse 27, the Bible says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." God has pleasure in your prosperity. He's excited when you prosper. He is glorified when you prosper. He likes to see you prosper. Hallelujah. So that's having the right mindset. So never think that God will create, you know, lack of success for you. God will make you not succeed. You know, when you are somewhere and it's not working, don't say it's the will of God. God just want me there for now. No, it's never the will of God. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospered." The King James Version says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper." Hallelujah. So never accept lack as the will of God. It does not glorify God. It is never the will of God for you to lack, for you to not succeed, for you to not increase. It's never the will of God. Never accept that is your portion. And having the right mindset about success is also believing that you are blessed to succeed, blessed to increase, and not cursed. You are not cursed. If you're a child of God especially, you are not cursed. You are not in curses. There are no embargoes on your life. There are no embargoes on your life. There is no enemy of your soul that has power over your well-being and your welfare in life. You are in blessing, not curses, until you accept that, irrespective of the condition that you find yourself in, you're going to struggle. You're going to continue to be there. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. You are not cursed. As a child of God, you cannot be cursed. No one is so anointed enough to curse the man that God has blessed. He cannot be cursed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The Bible did not say God is going to bless you. The Bible did not say God is thinking about blessing you. The Bible says God has blessed us. You are blessed. It cannot be reversed. Because whatever God doeth, no one can take from it and no one can add to it. Hallelujah. You are blessed. The Bible says in Galatians, the scripture that you and I are always familiar with, it says, Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God finds pleasure in your prosperity. And he blessed you so you can prosper, so you can succeed, so you can achieve your dreams, so you can achieve your destiny, so you can become the person that you are meant to be, so you don't remain on the same spot, so you keep rising and keep rising until you become exceedingly successful. And your success will help to relieve many from hardship. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to increase. God wants you to have surplusly, because by becoming surplusly, exceedingly blessed, through you, through your help, many can be relieved from hardship. And as a result, many will thank God for you. Many will honor God for you because of you. That's what Paul showed us in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said in verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the ministration of this service, and Paul is referring to giving, the supply of your need to support someone who is in poverty, who is in hardship. Paul says in verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, for the ministration of this service not only supplies the needs of saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. When you increase, when you succeed, when you prosper, through your prosperity, many will be relieved from hardship. And as a result, many will thank God. Many will thank God. Many will honor God. God wants you to prosper for these reasons. Hallelujah. And number two thing that the Holy Spirit led put in my spirit is that you will need to allow God to inspire you with innovative ideas. I know you know some of these principles. You will need to allow the Holy Spirit inspire you with innovative ideas. God wants to inspire you with innovative ideas. God wants to show you where prosperity is, where your increase lies. God wants to put in your hand what you will do, and it will open your life to a brand new level. God wants to teach you the way of prosperity, the way of increase, the way of greatness. And you've got to start to listen to God. You've got to start to listen to God. You've got to start to open your spirit, train your spirit to hear and to understand God, because God would like to inspire you to do something that will help change your life. Isaiah chapter 48 in verse 17, Isaiah 48 in verse 17, the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. I want to help you to prosper." Are you hearing God? Are you hearing God? Has God been speaking to you about something? Has God been speaking to you about something? Can you hear God? If you've not been hearing God, then you need to go back to your closet. You need to retreat. You need to have alone time with God. You need to wait on God. You need God to speak to you. And if you are hearing God, what has God been saying to you? What have you done with what God has been speaking to you about? You cannot keep procrastinating. Has God been speaking something to you? Has God been challenging you, moving you to do something? Don't procrastinate. It's time to rise and do what God said. God spoke to Kenneth Copeland many years ago. God instructed him to buy a portion of land. He didn't know why he needed to buy that portion of land, but he looked for the money and he bought the portion of land. And not long after that, they discovered that there is gas in the land. And that made him a multi-millionaire preacher today. One of the richest preachers in the world today. Not through offerings and tithes, but because God led him to buy a portion of land that has got oil in it. You have to understand, child of God, you have to understand that just staying in your job comfortably there and any monthly salary may not bring you the increase that you desire. There would be something else that God may be saying for you to do. That £1,000 per month salary, that £2,000 per month salary may not make you a millionaire, may not bring you to that level of abundance. By the time you finish paying all the bills, you may have to start believing again for the next season of salary. But God will want you to enjoy surplus supply, great increase. And he will want to show you what to do. The Bible says he's able to make all grace abound towards you. He can show you the way, open your life to opportunities, and bless you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiently, may have an abundance for every good work." You can see that one of the reasons why God wants to have in abundance is so you will have enough for good works. Hallelujah. And he can make all grace abound towards you. The grace of God is the enablement of God, the ability that God gives you. God can give you innovative ideas, special abilities, so you can have more than you are having now. And you've got to start to believe God. You've got to start to recognize what grace is on my life. What ability has God given me? What creative idea is rising in my spirit? What talent has God given me? What can I do apart from what I'm doing now? Hallelujah. Number three, very quickly. You've got to start to look out for open doors of opportunities. Hallelujah. Let me put the word always. Always be on the lookout. You have to underline always. Always be on the lookout for open doors of opportunities. Wherever you go, there will be doors of opportunities. Wherever you go, I tell you that. Because God wants to prosper you. Because God wants to move you to a place of increase. He will be opening for you doors of opportunities. And you've got to always be on the lookout. Otherwise, opportunity will open for you and you're going to miss it. There are many people in the midst of opportunities, but they are blind to it. They cannot see it because they are not looking out for it. It's coming and it is going. I was with someone in America some time ago, and he was taking me around. He said, Pastor Musa, do you know that a few years ago, these houses were $10,000, $15,000. And someone invited me during the last recession. Someone invited me to buy a few, but I thought, it's a waste of money. Do you know, Pastor, that these houses now are $200,000, just a few years later? So I had the money, someone invited me, but I didn't think it's worth it. He said, I would have been a millionaire now, man. He missed that opportunity. You've got to be aware of your environment, be aware of what's happening in your community, and consider if there is something you can contribute to make that place better. Are you aware of your environment where you are? Are you aware of the people around you? Are you aware of the opportunity for service? You have to always ask yourself, wherever you are, how can I be a service here? What can I do in this place to contribute to making it a better place? Because a lot of times, open doors come as opportunity for service. In service, God opens doors of breakthroughs, doors of increase. You've got to pay attention wherever you are. Be on the lookout. What can I do to make a difference? Whose life can I touch? What is the need in this place that if I provide, it will change the place? You need to pay attention to people around you. Pay attention to people around you. And you see, many years ago, God told me that I need to place value in people and not take anyone for granted. Because a lot of the things that God will do, he uses people to do them. God does not send angels a lot of the times to come. He sends human angels, human agents. And there are things that will never happen to someone until somebody comes into his life. No matter how hard he works for it, there's something that someone may not get until someone comes into his life. God told me that there's some place that you may need to go, but you may never get there until someone takes you there. Something you need to have, no matter how hard you work for it, you may never get it until someone puts it in your hand. Something you need to know, you may never know it until someone comes and shows it to you. Put value in relationship. You need to start to pay more attention to people around you or the people that you meet. And treat everyone respectfully, kindly, because you never know. The next person that you're going to meet may be that angel. Maybe that angel. Just one contact with someone can help to change your life. But if you are someone that does not bother about people, does not pay attention on people, you take people for granted, then God will bring you a destiny helper and you're not going to see it. He's not going to appear like one to you and you're going to miss it. Many people have maltreated, have pushed back destiny helpers. People that would have changed their lives. Don't be nasty to anyone. You know, a few weeks ago, I decided to send a call credit, you know, to top up my father's credit, you know. But I mistakenly sent the credit to an old number of his. He no longer uses that number. It's someone else that uses that number. So I sent it credit to him, and I told him, "Dad, I send you this credit." He said, "Oh, okay, thank you." So he called me about a week later. He said, "I didn't get any credit." I said, "But I sent it." He said, "No, I didn't get any credit." So I went and checked and discovered that I sent it to a wrong number. So I called the number, and it's a lady that picked it. And I said, "On this date, I sent you this amount of credit. Actually, I was trying to send it to someone else." She said, "Oh, lay, thief. You are a thief. Hey, look at 419. He's trying to rob me. Thief. I said, "Madam, cool down." Said thief, and she switched off. And then my wife said, "She's calling you a thief," because she could hear that. She said, "Send her a text." So I sent her a text. I said, "I'm not a thief, I'm a pastor. On this date, I sent a credit to your account." Then she replied me, "Yes, I saw it, but I don't have money to pay back." She was nasty. She called me. That showed what kind of person that was. She never knew what could, maybe God intentionally asked me to send, made it happen so I could connect with her. So through this one contact, a lot of good things can come away. But she called me a thief and insulted me and called me a fraud without first listening to my story. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." You have to be paying attention and carefully handling the people that you come in contact with, because you never know what can come out of that relationship. Hallelujah. And one way, you know, of using opportunity is treating whatever you have now as a stepping stone to your next level. Whatever you have now, you know, it's an opportunity God has given you to have it now. No matter how small it is, it could be a cleaning job, it could be working at the till. Whatever you have now is an opportunity that you have. God gave it to you, and you've got to treat it as a stepping stone to your next level and give it your faithfulness. And give it your hard work and give it your sacrifice. There's nothing that God will give you that has no destiny in it. The Bible said the blessing of God, it maketh rich. If what you have now, no matter how insignificant it may appear, if it is a gift from God, it can make you rich. It can make you wealthy. It's an opportunity. From there, God can open a door to a greater door for you. So give it your best shot. And what I always tell people, that when it comes to hard work, they have to apply kingdom principles. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." Whatever your hands finds to do it with your might. In the spirit of hard work and sacrifice, one principle a believer must operate in is the principle of the extra mile. Going the extra mile is the way of God. Don't always only do what you are expected to do. What is your assignment? What is your responsibility? You just do it and that's it. That is my assignment. That is my responsibility. This is what I'm only expected to do. Jesus calls that behavior unfaithful worker. He does only what is his role to do. You have to go the extra mile. Doing more than you are expected to do. That's hard work. That's faithfulness. That's sacrifice. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5 verse 41, and whosoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. I tell people who care to listen to me, if closing time is 5, don't always leave at 4:30, 4:49. Don't close at 5. Even when you finish everything to do, stay until 4:15, 4:20. Look around, see if there's something else to tidy up. Don't be the first person to leave. Always give extra. If you finish your chores or your own role before your colleagues, don't just close up and go. Stay back. Give the extra minute. Support your colleague to finish his. It does not matter whether he's taking you for granted. It does not matter whether he's being lazy. You just go the extra mile for your own sake. Jesus, speaking in Luke chapter 17, verse 10, he says, so, Luke 17:10, he says, so also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. That's what Jesus said. If all you're doing is what is your role, what's your duty, you don't know how to do more. Go extra. That's not hard work. And finally, you need to take a step of faith and move into the deeper end. You've been functioning in the shallow end. Take a step of faith. Move out. Do something new. Do something different. Especially if the Holy Spirit has been compelling you about something. If the Holy Spirit has been charging you about something, you've got to take a step of faith and launch out. Go ahead and do it today. It is better to try and fail than not trying at all. It's better to try and fail than not try at all. And when you try something, when you invest into something and it didn't work, and you all appear to have failed in it, and you lost some money, don't regret it. Don't regret ever trying and failing in something. It's better that you have tried. You've gained some experience there. You've acquired some understanding there. It is good that you've tried. Never regret it. It's painful to suffer losses. It's painful to put in energy and time in something and it does not work. But it's better there doing that than staying in the place of fear and doubt and mediocrity. And the people who succeed in life are those who keep trying and they keep failing and they keep trying and they never give up. They believe that there's something greater out there for them. Don't say not again, not again. I'm not going to try this again. I've tried before. I'm tired. Not again. No, 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 no. The experience of failure gives you wisdom, increases understanding. It helps you learn how to navigate differently. Helps you know how to navigate differently. When you look back, you can see that it's been a learning curve. Now you can move differently. You got to launch into the deep. Take a step of faith. Try something different. Try something new. Let what God has been inspiring you, charging you, challenging you to do, let it gather energy inside of you. Let it propel you to go out and do something different. You can never succeed where just staying where you are. You remember the story of the leopards when the land of Israel was in siege. Rebuke that fear. Rebuke that fear. Rebuke that doubt. Challenge yourself. Say, I've got to do something new. I've got to do something different. I cannot just stay where I am. Until you become uncomfortable where you are. You know, don't enjoy shallow waters. There are bigger fishes in the deep end. Go for them. Finally, as I close, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your takes. As I close, let me read that scripture again. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your takes. I leave you with this wisdom keys, I believe. Godly principles. The pathway to success. And may the Lord bring into your life greater increase. May you never stay where you are. Let's press through, every one of us, until we become for that which God has chosen us. Hallelujah. May the hand of God rest upon you right now. May you feel God's hand on you as you've never felt it before. May the hand of God pull you up and set you ablaze. And may you start to burn, like you've never burned before. You'll never be cool. You'll never calm down. You'll never be at ease until you've achieved your next level. I bless you with the blessing of this gospel. And the blessing will begin to activate in your life. May you enjoy surplus supply of all your need. May the Lord make you a greater blessing. A greater blessing to humanity. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you, everybody.